Well, good evening. And Merry Christmas. It is so wonderful to be together and just celebrate the birth of our Savior. These guys are just bringing up something that we're going to be watching transform before us tonight. This is Rebecca, and I am Pastor Kathy. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And Rebecca is going to be drawing as I speak to you tonight, but we're just going to start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you, to meet with you. It has been a blessing so far. We have felt your presence, your Spirit is with us. And God, we pray that you would continue to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts tonight. God, that you would show us what it is you've brought us here for, what you have placed on my heart and Rebecca's heart. We believe this is from you. God, it's from your word. It is truth. So we pray for each one tonight that you would bless them and that if they need comfort, you would comfort them and that you would just hide us behind your cross so that you would be seen, that your light would be revealed. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, I would like to just allow you and ask you to focus in on what Rebecca is drawing and just hear the words that I'm going to speak in the background. Christmas season is a time of such beauty and inspiration to me. I am reminded of the real reason of the season and why, as Christians, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. I am aware that this is a difficult time for some. And I'm aware there may be even some amongst us this evening who have had a difficult word to have to swallow, perhaps a loss, perhaps somebody who is ill, somebody who is struggling with loneliness. I want you to find a place here tonight amongst friends, that when you leave this place tonight, that you would feel a sense of joy in your heart and a sense of belonging here. A few weeks back, I was blessed to see a video. And this video was one that a gentleman named Charlie Mackesy, a world-renowned artist, was in. And in this video, he drew a picture of the Nativity while explaining the importance of the scene that takes place in that life, in that time. Now, Charlie was born in Brixton, England, south of London. And to say the least, he was a mischievous child and a teenager as well. But Charlie was an atheist at that time. But God got a hold of his heart and transformed him. He has an absolutely incredible testimony. And as I watched interview after interview with Charlie and different people, I learned of the day that he first discovered Christ. It was in a strange place. He was actually in an outhouse. And there was a concert happening in the park. There was Christian music playing. And he was so struck by what he heard, he was actually brought to tears. A Christian song brought him to tears in a strange place. But it was the beginning of his journey. Charlie is now, as Nicky Gumbel, a very well-known man for the Alpha Course, would explain, is the evangelist of our time in England. He hugs the lonely. He is raw and real with the lost. He is humble, and he states that the child that changed his life was the child that came on Christmas Day. He changed his mission. He changed his heart. This little child, Jesus, transformed him. He gave him relationship. He gave him love. This video has such a profound impact on my life that I went to prayer immediately after I had seen it. And two things came to mind was, our church needs to see this, but how? And then in my time of prayer and reading of scripture, two names came to mind. And one of them was the story of a girl that I'm going to share with you. And the other one was the woman who stands on the stage with me. So when all things came together and I was given permission to share this story with you, I knew that it was from God. This young lady's story is real. And it happened 16 years ago when I was ministering in a different town. She's given me permission to share, but I have changed her name just for privacy purposes. You see, she came to church one Sunday morning, and she said to me, "I have to leave, and I won't be back." And I said, "What are you talking about, Kay? What do you mean you won't be back?" She had gone through her teens and was in her young adults, and she was starting to help us with teaching and music and different things. And she said, "I'm ashamed, and my parents are leaving too." And I said, "What do you mean you're ashamed and your parents are leaving too?" I said, "Where are your parents?" She said, "They're in the car." I said, "What is the shame that would make you leave a church that loves you?" She said, "I'm with child. I did something I shouldn't have done. It was one time, and I am so sorry." I said, "You're not leaving. You cannot leave. We love you. And Jesus came to forgive you of your sins, and we will walk alongside you." She said, "I just don't know." And I asked her to go to the car and get her parents so that they could come in and chat with us. So they went off to the car. She went off to the car, got them. And as she did that, I went to my mentor, my spiritual leader. And it was the wife of our senior pastor at the time. And I said to her, "This young lady cannot leave." And I explained very quickly what was going on. And we picked up a stone about the size of my fist. We gathered all the youth together because we were just getting ready for Sunday school. And we put the stone in the center of the table, and John 8 came to mind, where Jesus says, "Who will be the first one to cast a stone?" We allowed her to share, and we allowed her to cry. It was a real moment. And then with her parents there, we said, "You're forgiven, and you are loved, and we will be here with you." The youth gathered around her, and they prayed. They prayed for a healthy baby that could be raised in a Christian home. That baby was a miracle, not a mistake. There is no mistake when a baby is born. Her story was a difficult one because the path that she had to travel was an obvious sin. She said to me, "Others can sin and hide it, but mine is so prominent." And I said, "We will protect, and we will lead, and we will guide." Kay began to speak of how she was feeling, and she bowed her head often in prayer, asking for forgiveness. She was reminded that night very often by those who judged and those who didn't understand the love of Christ. But she remained at our church, and we remained beside her. You see, Christmas is about love. It is about the birth of Jesus Christ. It is about the forgiveness that he brings. She had her family. She had the church family. And she had Christ right there beside her through all of these things. I want to tell you the way that that story ends is beautiful because it was. That story ends with her with a babe in her arms and just such a sense of awe and love for that child. She went on to journey with other young women who ended up in the same place that she was in. And she walked alongside them and she loved them and cared for them. And still, 16 years later, is doing just that. This evening, we have heard through the reading of scripture and through worship in song, different scriptures that have been mentioned about the birth of Christ and what happened at that time. As I mentioned earlier, the nativity touched Charlie's life. I can tell you that the nativity has touched my life. It's touched Rebecca in a beautiful way. It's a scene that has impacted me because of the baby that is at the center of it. Because he brings us hope. He brings us joy. He allows us to believe. He allows us to understand there is eternal life. It's humbling. It's a humbling thing to look at the nativity. What I want you to think about tonight is the character of those who God entrusted to carry and support and raise this baby that was wrapped in strips of white linen, the Savior of the world. I think about Kay and her first Christmas. I think about watching her come in the back doors and holding that baby and just staring at the nativity with her babe in her arms. She had incredible joy in her heart. It was so real for her, the gift of that child, the gift of Jesus. It was so profound. That Christmas, she rededicated her life to Christ and has been in service to him since. She was not without sin. She had been forgiven, but she related somehow to Mary's story, for the scorn and the judgment was real to her. She was able to relate in a small way to Mary. Mary, she was from day one just a little bit afraid. And scripture talks to us about that. When Gabriel, the angel, came and appeared and said the news about her being highly favored and that she would be with child and have the Son of Most High, and he would be called Jesus, the Lord of Lords, and he would be on the throne. She was somewhat fearful, yet let me tell you this, she was obedient. And she allowed the prophecy to be fulfilled. And I am sure she would have had some feelings of insecurity. But Mary had been chosen to carry the Savior of the world. Mary was brave. And even though she walked a difficult path, Mary was devoted to the mission that God had given to her to carry this child and to give birth in a very crazy place. She was there for Jesus' first breath, and she remained with him until his final breath. She was a mom who was devoted to her son. Then there was Joseph, a man who was pledged to be married to Mary. He was given the role to be the earthly father of Jesus. Joseph at first was not sure about the job that he was going to be having to take, the role as father, earthly father to Jesus. And the angel came to visit him. Do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So Joseph took Mary home, where they had no union between them until after the birth of Jesus. Joseph was a man of integrity, strong character. He was a devout follower of the customs of his religion. Joseph was faithful. He was obedient to his call. He protected Mary from harm, from scorn, and he was always by her side. And as this baby grew, Joseph shared his gift of carpentry with his son and taught him religious values and remained a faithful earthly father. And then there was this shepherd, many of them. And as you know from scriptures, they were out in the fields that night watching their flocks. If they were faithful shepherds, they would guide and care for and lead, make sure that the needs of their livestock were met. Their livestock were typically sheep and goats. And the good shepherd took their work seriously. They would leave others, the other sheep, with a shepherd's hand and go and find that one who may be missing. The good shepherds were diligent, dependable, brave, and strong. They lived simple lives, very simple lives. And most of them were not really respected. And yeah, they were pretty dirty. Yet God chose them to share the good news about the birth of Jesus Christ. They were the ones that were chosen to go. And once again, with some fear involved, as the angel appeared to them, a great light shone. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Today a Savior has been born for all people. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign for you. The babe will be wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And the shepherds hurried. They saw Mary. They saw Joseph. And they saw the baby. Then they went and they spread the word to the world about what they had seen and what they had been told. Here we have Mary, Joseph, the shepherds. But what about Jesus? What about that baby? Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, who I'm sure had her moments of insecurity and doubt. In a stinky stable with animals and all the mess that comes with it. A humble entrance into a sin-filled world. I think about Kay and her family and her friends, the church support that they had. But Mary and Joseph, what did they have? They didn't even have a room in the inn. They had each other. They had God. They had the shepherds. Maybe a few animals. No hospital. Nowhere to turn. Yet out of the obedience of this couple that had been chosen came the Savior of our world. This, I believe, is the most vulnerable, humble act that has ever, ever taken place. Why? Why? So that we could walk with him, so that he could teach, so that he could preach, so that he could heal, so that he would be able to listen and bind up the brokenhearted. He was compassionate. He wept at the loss of his friend. He fed the hungry. Jesus protected those who really were not worthy of protection. This baby grew to be the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, and every single second in between. This baby came to forgive, to take away sins, so that we could have an extension of his love and his grace. Kay was the result of that love, that grace, and that forgiveness. Take a moment as you look at this drawing and think about your life. Think about what it would be like to be there. I often wonder about that myself. What would it have been like to actually be present? And just ponder the true story of what happened with Kay. Ponder the story of Charlie, who just had this vision of drawing the nativity so it could draw people in. It is an inspiring story that brings us such hope and such joy. It's real. It's truth. It's scripture. It is for imperfect people to be touched by a perfect little baby. Lives can be changed and transformed and renewed and rededicated or dedicated for the first time. This babe, born of a virgin in humility. The true meaning of Christmas is Jesus. It's not the gifts and the glitter. It is a humble nativity setting with smelly animals and all that goes with it, and the beautiful birth of a perfect child. This is simply love. This is love at its finest, the kindest gift that could ever be given, the gift of Jesus Christ. He eventually would take on the punishment of this sin-filled world. Why? So that we could understand what love is, so that we could understand what true forgiveness is, so that we could understand what relationship is. So when I look at this picture that you have so beautifully drawn for us, Rebecca, I would ask, could you just draw me a heart? Just a heart. That is Christmas. Born of a virgin in such a humble way so that we could experience genuine, simple love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. But listen to 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it or to judge it, but to save the world through him. This Christmas, may your heart, may your soul, may your all in all, may your eyes be focused on this. And as you leave this place, it is our heart's desire that you would leave understanding that you are so loved. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I don't know how many are here tonight that may be in a church for the first time. I don't know how many are here that may have never heard the story of Christ's birth before, but you do, and you've got this. But I pray in a very special way tonight, Lord, that the love that was brought to this planet, Earth, Lord, by you through your Son would just be something that is so impactful tonight to each one that is here, that they would want to go and share that love with somebody else. Lord, I pray that there is forgiveness amongst families and friends this Christmas. I pray that there is such a sense of joy in people's hearts. And I pray, Lord God, that your name would be praised and raised all over this community. It is about love. It is about hope. It is about joy. It is about peace. It is about forgiveness. So, Lord, if there's even one here tonight that has not received you as their best friend, as their savior, has not experienced relationship with you, I pray, God, that they right now would be in prayer, receiving you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, as their savior. Jesus, may not one person leave this place tonight without the understanding of how incredibly beautiful they are, inside and out, and how deeply loved they are by you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.